Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader. It's Right Side Radio. This is producer JP here live from the Right Side Studios, where we cover the local, the state, the national, all the issues, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, folks, Phil is back up in New York City. Doing another round of CNN tonight with Abby Phillip at 9 p.m. Central. So he actually just landed about 2 minutes ago in New York City, got a text. So in the meantime, I will be doing the first hour of today's show, and then the rest of the show will be a best ofs compilation from earlier in the week. But we got some good stuff for y'all in the radio to listen to in the meantime, so make sure to stay tuned for that. But first things first, folks, it is hump day.
Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
That's right, it is hump day. Y'all are halfway home to the weekend. And like I said, I'll be doing the first hour of today's show while Phil is off. And I will be having a monologue here soon. But then after that, you know, we're going to talk about this government shutdown that is still going on. We're going to talk about it very briefly because it's a government shutdown about nothing. That's not an over-exaggeration. It's literally a government shutdown over nothing. It's the Democrats wanting to fund illegal aliens and are throwing a pouty fit because the only card they have is to shut the entire government down and not pass a clean CR that they just passed earlier this year. So that is the story. And quite frankly, it's very uninteresting and there's not much else to it. But the unfortunate part is that people, troops, government workers are not getting paychecks in the meantime while the Democrats and AOC are leading the charge to play the only political card that they have. So we'll talk about that briefly. It was the clean CR was shut down once again today by Senate Democrats. But James Comey has pleaded not guilty today to his charges as well. So we'll talk a little bit about that and some other stuff in the news. So y'all make sure to stay tuned for that. But like I said, I do have a monologue written up for you guys. So this monologue, as always, brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. And I will tell y'all more about Stan here on the other side of this monologue. All right, so I'll be preaching to myself as much as anyone listening today. But this has been weighing on my heart recently. And it's a message I think we all need to hear regularly. One that realigns our intentions with that of God's and encourages you along the journey. But first, let me ask you, do you ever get annoyed at mundane tasks that need to be done? You know, whether it's laundry or the dishes or taking the dog out. You know, I don't have kids, so I haven't experienced this one, but changing dirty diapers or getting up at 3 a.m. when the baby's screaming their head off. You know that feeling you get when you'd rather just stay in that warm bed and just keep scrolling on TikTok or Facebook? Like, ugh, really? This sucks. You have two options in those situations. A, you can just get up and do it and get it over with. Or B, you don't do it and you let that pile of dirty dishes just sit in the sink for days. And then, you know, along the way, you move the dishes to the side so you can wash your hands and you ignore the obvious sign of your laziness just staring right in front of you. Until one day you've had enough of the dirty dishes, so you just wash them. And you end up doing what you should have done a couple of days ago anyways. So really, the job ended up getting done no matter what. And it got even more annoying because now you had to clean up dishes that were days old. If you couldn't tell, yeah, I'm the king of procrastination, and I've done that several times. Now, have you ever felt that way with God? Have you ever been in a situation where it just is so evidently clear what God is calling you to do? As if God's driving you down the road, you keep asking, you know, where are we going? What are we doing? There's no response, so you just patiently wait and stare out the window. But then you see where you're pulling into, and you go, oh, no, there's no way I'm doing all that. You know, that's scary. What will people think of me? What if I fail? Or even worse, what if I get hurt? You know, there's a character in the Bible, and I'll be referencing him several times in this monologue. His name's King David. You know, you ever heard of him? David was a shepherd boy who spent all of his time out in the field protecting his sheep. And David was so inconsequential in the eyes of his own father that when Samuel was told by God to go and talk to Jesse about one of his sons becoming the next king of Israel, Jesse didn't even bring him inside. And y'all know the story, but I'm going to tell it anyways. Samuel said no to all the sons that Jesse figured would be king material, and he asked, "Do you have another son?" Jesse said, "Oh yeah, well, I mean, there's David. He's out there in the field." "Bring him in," Samuel said. And sure enough, David was the one that God called to lead the nation of Israel. Samuel then anointed David right there as a prophetic sign of what's to come. Well, later on down the road, David goes out to the battlefield where Israel is fighting the Philistines to bring food to his brothers. David sees this massive giant named Goliath, openly mocking Israel and Yahweh. So what did David do? Wait. He said, boy, that Goliath sure is big. You know, y'all take this food. I'm getting the heck out of here. Nope. What he actually said was, what are y'all doing? You're just going to let him mock God like that? So this young shepherd boy, turning down wearing armor, went out to the field to confront the giant. And all that time, slinging rocks with his slingshot at lions and other predators trying to go after his sheep, this prepared him for that exact moment where he was called to step up. And he had faith that God would bring him victory. And he did. After putting a rock dead straight between Goliath's eyeballs, David slayed the giant. I'll give you one more story because I'm a massive MMA fan. One of my biggest heroes in high school as I became an MMA fan was Conor McGregor. To me, he embodied the definition of confidence, talking a big game and then backing it up. He inspired me that I too can do hard things. Well, Conor in 2016 was taking the world by storm. He went on an unbelievable win streak and capped it off by beating the undefeated pound-for-pound number one fighter in the world, Jose Aldo, in just 13 seconds. This not only made him the 145-pound champion, but it made him a superstar. Conor was then presented with the opportunity to fight for the 155-pound belt and become the first simultaneous two-weight champ in UFC history. Well, Rafael Dos Anjos, the lightweight champion, broke his foot in training for the fight. So on short notice, Nate Diaz stepped in. But Nate wanted the fight at 170 instead of 155. So now Conor is moving up two weight classes and 15 pounds heavier than they originally agreed to weight. Conor wasn't cutting weight to meet 170 like Nate was, by the way, so Nate would be fighting Conor at least 15 pounds heavier on fight night. But Conor, being the confident guy he is, said, sure. So come fight time, Conor starts teeing off on Nate Diaz in the first round. Come the second round, though, Conor starts to fade. The size difference caught up to him, and Nate started to put the pressure on him, and Nate Diaz ended up submitting Conor McGregor in round number two. This shocked the entire MMA world, the biggest upset in MMA history. After this, Conor could have said, yeah, I've got a belt at 145 I can go defend. I got no business fighting at 170. Or he could have said, hey, you know, Dos Anjos, how about that lightweight championship we were supposed to fight? But nope, Conor said, I will beat Nate Diaz and I will beat him at his weight of 170. There was literally nothing for Conor to gain in doing that other than just pride and honor. There was no belt he could win by beating Nate. He just could not live with the fact someone had beaten him and he wanted that win back. In what was at the time the biggest fight in UFC history, Conor rematched Nate at 170. The first round looked exactly the same as last time. Conor was walking through Nate, but late in the second round and early third round, Conor started to fade once again. You know, here we go. The Irishman's bitten off more than he can chew once again. Instead of giving up, though, Conor did the exact opposite. He bit down on his mouthpiece, put his arms up, and walked Nate Diaz down, and the fight ended up being one for the ages. The greatest UFC fight ever, in my opinion. And with Nate's blood all over him, Conor defeated Nate Diaz in a majority decision. He slayed his giant and proved everyone wrong in the process. So why did I tell you these stories? Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I can feel a major spiritual battle on our hands right now. Like evil is really ramping it up lately against forces of good. You know, think about it. Almost a month ago, Charlie Kirk was slaughtered in cold blood for being a Christian, simply speaking his mind and engaging in debate with those who disagreed with him. The left then danced on his grave. They laughed. They mocked him. How would they react to your death if they react that way to Charlie's death? We just saw leaked messages from the Democratic candidate for Virginia AG saying that he fantasized about the Republican Virginia Speaker of the House being murdered alongside his kids. He said they were breeding little fascists and somehow, you know, something needed to be done. And he'll put on his suit, he'll smile in your face and act like he doesn't secretly want Christian conservatives killed. So like I said, there's a spiritual fight on our hands, big time. And here's the kicker. God is not calling you to stay on the sidelines. God is calling you to get engaged. That's where you get that pit in your stomach where you're like, oh, really? Like I talked about at the beginning of the monologue. You know, why can't life just be comfortable? Sorry, but that's not what we were made for. We weren't made for comfort. We were made and called to bring the gospel to the darkest places. You think the apostles wanted to die such gruesome deaths? You think Peter really wanted to get crucified upside down? And if you're saying to yourself, who am I to do anything special? Well, let me tell you something. God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. Let me say it again. God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. I bring David back into the picture. David was a shepherd boy. His own father didn't even see him worthy enough of being king. David committed adultery when he was king and had the husband of Bathsheba killed so he could be with her. But yet, God called David a man after God's own heart. Peter, the one who Jesus proclaimed was the rock of which he would build his church, denied Jesus 3 times to his face. Moses was a murderer. Paul persecuted Christians. You know, I can go on and on. Nobody is worthy. We are all sinful. But we as Christians are also all called. We're all called in different ways, but it's on us to answer the bell. This is antithetical to the modern Christian belief that we just need to be tolerant. We need to let everyone just exercise their own truth. Oh, golly gee, I don't want to get involved in politics because that's divisive. I love it when pastors say, we're not going to tell you how to vote. Well, our enemies are surely engaged. They're voting. The ones who fantasize about Christian conservatives dying are literally on the ballot and are still supported by other Democrats after the fact. The ones who celebrated Charlie Kirk's death are surely voting. The ones who want to mutilate your kids, who want to put porn in their school libraries, who mock Christianity and want to turn America into Sodom and Gomorrah, they're engaged. So we need to get engaged also, because one ideology is going to win. You know, God doesn't call us to sit on the side, hold our hands, and wait for a rapture. Oh, it's going to get worse before it gets any better, so what's the point? So you're telling me the plan is just to sit back and let these degenerate losers win? Seriously? That's nonsense. We need to fight back. And when I say that, the left says, look, a violent Christian nationalist. Nope, we won't fight like they do. We won't shoot them like they shoot us. We won't fantasize about their deaths like they do ours. I bring David back into the picture one last time. When David was rising in popularity amongst the Israelites before he was king himself, and Saul was still reigning as king of Israel, King Saul got a little jealous. He ordered David to be killed and led the charge to find David and murder him. While on the run, David found Saul in a cave relieving himself while he was actively looking for David. Any logical person would say, well, this was David's opportunity to take Saul out. Nobody was looking. Nobody would blame David for killing Saul right there on the spot. And then, you know, he would assume the throne as king of Israel. But David didn't do that. David spared Saul, cut a piece of his robe to let him know that he had the opportunity to kill him, but chose not to. David honored that King Saul was anointed by God as king and would not kill him. I think this can speak to us today. There are those who want us dead simply because we speak the truth and we have the Holy Spirit in us. Just like how Saul wanted David killed. Our response is not violence. It's to double down on speaking the truth, professing the gospel, and spreading love to those who hate us. But that requires you to get engaged. You know your talents that God gave you deep down, and it's time to start putting it to use for good. You know, maybe God called you to run for office. Maybe God called you to just go to your city council and make your cause heard in front of everyone. You know, everyone can do something. But do not be intimidated or scared because the left is getting violent and have that cause you to stay on the sidelines. Because remember, God is on our side, so it's time for us to bite down on our mouthpiece, put your hands up, and get engaged. Because remember, in the end, we win. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Away. Yeah, I don't know. I've just been kind of feeling that on my heart lately, ever since what's happened to Charlie Kirk, really. But then you see instances like the Virginia AG fantasizing about the deaths of Republicans and conservatives. And it's just, I think we all need a reminder not to sit on the sidelines and let that scare us, but we need to get engaged politically and use our voice, because if we don't, then they're the ones who are going to have power over us, and they're the ones that's going to win. We can't let that happen. This is JP here, Right Side Radio, filling in for Phil Williams today. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is producer JP here, filling in for Phil for the first hour of today's show while he's up at CNN, where it's Right Side Radio, where it's always solid conservative and just plain right. Well, folks, quickly, I got to tell you guys about Stan McDonald. That's right. Stan McDonald is a lawyer at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee out of Huntsville. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law, and not only will Stan advocate and fight for your legal needs and rights, but he's been an absolute warrior for causes near and dear to our Right Side ruffian community. That's attorney Stan McDonald. He's represented clients in literally thousands of real estate transactions over the years, and when Stan McDonald is on your side, you have no greater friend, and likewise, your adversaries will have no greater foe. So I'm going to give you his phone number. Attorney Stan McDonald, that's 256-533-0202. That's Stan McDonald, 256-533-0202. Tell him you heard about it on Right Side of Radio. And Stan McDonald rules, so that's my disclaimer, and I'm very glad I don't have to do that anymore, because I don't know how Phil did it every day. It is awful. So thank God for lawyers for finally figuring it out. You don't have to do that every time. But here we got some text line text coming in, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. You can text it or call it for that matter. Let's start with Pastor Dave from Indiana. Pastor Dave, he says, he's quoting scripture here, Philippians 1:29. For it has been granted to you by Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Yes. Says this verse frames suffering for Christ's sake as a gift or a privilege. Exactly. Exactly. That is, we are called to carry the cross just as Jesus did. And that's not a very enticing message. You know, Jordan Peterson put it best, you know, where he explained how true Christianity, if you're a genuine and real Christian, that's not a very exciting and inviting lifestyle, because it literally calls you to crucify your flesh figuratively and to suffer alongside with Christ. And that is a constant battle against your flesh, and not only against your flesh, but against everybody else's flesh, which is also evil in this world. So it's not a squeaky clean, squishy lifestyle. It's actually a very hard, and if you do it genuinely and sincerely, it's a constant battle. But we are not built for this world. We're built for the next one. So I agree with that. I agree with that. Perfectly put, Pastor Dave. Mark from Huntsville says, great analogy, JP, when you spoke about David not killing Saul when he had the chance and the right, you know, and not killing him. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I think it's such an amazing example, because, you know, David was anointed to be the next king of Israel after Saul. He knew that. So when Saul is chasing David to kill him, and in the midst of doing that, David has a perfect chance. He's literally using the bathroom in a cave, had his back turned. Nobody would have blamed David. He had every right to do that from a logical perspective, but yeah, he didn't. He didn't, because he honored Saul was also the anointed. So I think that's a perfect analogy for us today, and I appreciate you saying that, Mark from Huntsville. Jeff from Indiana says, good monologue, JP. I appreciate you, man. He said, yeah, I can't imagine anyone running for attorney general after saying the things he did about his Republican it could ever be unbiased in a case. That's true. I think that any conviction he had against the Republicans would surely be overturned. I hope that the people in that state, regardless of party, would see this person as someone who should not even hold office of any kind. Well, what's even more sad is his Democrat buddies that are backing him up still after the fact. You know, Tim Kaine was going into the Capitol yesterday, and he was asked by a reporter, you know, because Tim Kaine is a Virginia senator. He was asked, you know, about this Virginia AG candidate and what he said. And Tim Kaine said, look, what he said was indefensible, but I've known him for 25 years, and I'm not going to let that ruin, you know, my relationship with him. I still stand by it. Oh, really? So you still stand by someone who literally fantasizes about Republicans getting killed? I'm glad you have the audacity to say that, but they're saying it, not us. It's their words. But with the music's playing, we got to take a quick time out here. We're going to come back on the other side, answer some more of y'all's texts, and then start to get into some of this meaningless, stupid, uninteresting government shutdown. But nonetheless, we'll still talk about it. This is JP here at Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is producer JP here, filling in for the first hour today while Phil is up in New York City for yet another round on CNN tonight, where it's Right Side Radio. It's always solid conservative and just plain right. And like I said, folks, yep, Phil will be back up on CNN News now with Abby Phillip, one of the other, tonight, 9 p.m. Central. Y'all make sure to check him out there. We'll get some more of y'all's texts here. John from Huntsville says, JP, your monologue was absolutely brilliant. I appreciate that, John. He says, you get an A++ today just for that perfect monologue, as long as you don't talk about a certain coach and a certain TV show I don't like. I will not do that. Well, first, I appreciate it. And no, that coach or show is not on the agenda for this segment here. So you're off the hook today. But for today, yeah, they'll come up in the future. Johanna from Artsel. JP, your monologue was so well done. I appreciate that, Johanna. Perhaps you should consider writing articles for Christian publications. You and Phil are both very gifted in articulating your thoughts. Great job. Yeah, I would love to, you know, write. I think in the future, writing will be up my alley, but God will open the doors. I just want to contribute and hope that he can speak through me in any way that I can do that and further his kingdom. So I appreciate that, though, Joanna. We got Jeff from Athens. He sent a photo in. A crane in Athens that's repairing the weather vane on the courthouse that was damaged in a tornado. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was that. Yeah, wow, I see that there. Well, I'm glad they're actually fixing it, though. He also said that great monologue. I appreciate it. David is my favorite Old Testament character, and Peter is my favorite in the New Testament. He said he could put his foot in his mouth with the best one. Yeah, I agree. You know, Peter is another example of, you know, Jesus condemning violence when, you know, Peter tried to kill the guard that was taking Jesus to crucify him. And Jesus, heal the guard, literally the guard that's taken Jesus to his death to crucify him, an awful death. He healed the guard's ear and told Peter that he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. So just yet another example of we're not called for violence to react to this attack on Christians. We are called to do the opposite. We are called to speak peacefully. And if they kill us, then, you know, so be it. You know, we're not made for this world. So, yeah, I appreciate that, Jeff. We got Sandy from Harvest. You're doing a great job, brother. I appreciate that, Sandy. Jeff from Indiana says, yeah, Tin Can is also with the dumbest people in politics. A short time ago, he was saying that our rights come from government and not God. I know. It's very unfortunate. Ian from Hartsville says, sounds like Phil just needs to go work at CNN as much as he's there. I know it, man. It's crazy. But, hey, he gets a kick out of it, so... And I know he enjoys that, and he had some great clips from his last time up there, so we'll see if he has any other good ones tonight. We got JT from Lacey Springs sending in a meme. He says, what are the four greatest threats to America? Socialism, liberalism, the Democratic Party, and the idiots who support these things. Perfectly stated. And we got Shag Nasty the Atheist, of course, texting in because we're talking about Jesus. Saying, MAGA will put on a suit, smile on your face, and make a dumb sermon and act like they don't want concentration camps for libs. Nobody in MAGA wants concentration camps for libs. He said, so if David is a man after God's own heart, does that make God an adulterer? No, actually, that makes David a sinner and trying to be after God's own heart, even when he stumbles and falls. That just points to his humanity and his sinful nature. We also got John 18:36. Says, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. Yep. You know what that means, Shag? That means that if they kill us here, that we have a kingdom in heaven. You know, Jesus also says to evangelize and preach the gospel to all four corners of the earth. So that's not very, that doesn't go with your, I know what you're trying to insinuate with that scripture, that we should just, you know, sit back and let all the atheists, you know, attack Christians and change America into a atheist nation. It's actually not biblical at all. And then he says, Christian nationalism is not Christ-centered Christianity and never will be. Well, that's your opinion. So I appreciate you texting in though anyway, Shag, which actually, you know, this goes along with, my monologue, and this actually, I'm just getting, some notifications of this, during the break. So apparently, Church in Madison, which held the event that Phil was at earlier this year with Jared Hudson at a town hall event. The name of the church is escaping me at the moment. But Moms for Liberty was hosting this event with Brian Dawson. Brian Dawson, who is the CEO, owner of 1819 News. We've done a podcast. Phil did a podcast with Brian Dawson talking about his testimony and his background, how he came to faith. A former felon who was facing a lot of time in prison and was able to get out, come to know Christ, meet his wife and kids, and start 1819, and he's been a true Christian ever since. So he is the true embodiment of genuine Christianity, but he is also a Republican. He's also fighting for conservative values here in Alabama, so he's got enemies who don't like him. Well, apparently this church, I'm going to put some pictures up here on the live stream for you guys that are watching, this church was just vandalized because Brian Dawson is going to be the speaker at this church. I'm looking at one picture right here that says, beware of his falsehoods. And then another picture here that says, Brian Dawson serves the Antichrist. It's just another example. You know, the tolerant left, yeah, they got to go. Movement Church in Madison. Thank you, JT Lacey Springs, for reminding me. Movement Church in Madison is the place, this church that was just vandalized because Brian Dawson will be speaking there, I believe tonight or upcoming soon anyways. And this church is getting vandalized. Why? Because they have Brian Dawson speaking there, and they disagree with Brian Dawson's political beliefs. So now they're trying to claim that he serves the Antichrist and that, you know, beware of his falsehoods. Let me tell you guys, somebody who's met Brian Dawson, and if any of y'all want to go listen to his testimony, it's on our YouTube channel. If Brian Dawson is not a genuine Christian, then I don't know who is. Okay, you can disagree with his political beliefs, but you cannot deny his genuine faith, and you cannot deny that his testimony is authentic. So it's a shame, you know, Movement Church in Madison getting vandalized once again. Because Brian Dawson is speaking there at their event tonight. So that just, it's very unfortunate. It goes right along with what I was just saying in my monologue. We are going to face persecution. We're going to face opposition in this world. But Jesus has overcome the world, and we can't let that intimidate us or scare us to not speak up. I know it won't intimidate Brian, or I know it won't intimidate Emily Jones, our friend Emily Jones, Mom for Liberty chapter in Madison. It's not going to intimidate them to not keep doing what they want. They actually had a restaurant vandalized before Marjorie Taylor Greene was going to speak at one of their events earlier this year. So this is a common theme, but it's not going to intimidate us to not spread the message. But I just thought I'd bring that up if you guys hadn't seen it yet. It's a shame. It's happening right here in Alabama, Madison, Alabama. So anyways, we got a couple minutes here in the segment. I did want to briefly touch on some current things in the news before we go to the best ofs after this hour. So yeah, the government shutdown continues because the Democrats vote down the clean CR once again today. Still, I believe, 4 votes short from breaking cloture, and then we can have a simple majority vote to pass the clean CR. But the Democrats are passing the cloture vote, so we can't even get to that point. But like I said, it's such an annoying. There's not even much else to say. I mean, we've said all there is to say about the government shutdown. It is about nothing. It is stupid. It is the only card that they have. But yet, off the backs of military members and government workers that are not getting paid, they're going to use this to try to point the finger at Trump, claim that Trump caused this government shutdown, and try to further their political agenda because they don't have the House, they don't have the Senate, they don't have the White House. This is the only card that they have. And I've actually seen a lot of folks say, well, Republicans have all three, you know, parts of government. They have the White House, they have the Republican or the House, and they have the Senate. This is the Republicans' fault. They own this government shutdown. It's just not true. It's just someone who doesn't understand what's actually going on here. Because what the Republicans are doing are bringing up this clean CR that the Democrats voted for earlier this year. But Democrats are playing games. They want to pack in a bunch of Obamacare subsidies in the bill that they know is not going to happen. So they're just doing it just to do it and to throw a fit. And that's why the government is currently shut down. So it's the Democrats who own this. The Republicans, they didn't pack any other crap in there that, you know, wasn't just a clean CR. It was literally a clean CR. Nothing else added. The same CR that they passed earlier this year, but now they have a problem with it. Why? Because they want to shut the government down and throw a fit. That's the bottom line. So there's really not much more to add. As this government shutdown continues, that will continue to be the case. And, you know, like I said, they voted down the clean CR yet again today, but what do you expect? You know, Schumer is getting orders from AOC to do this. It's pretty clear. You know, Schumer is scared that AOC is going to primary him in his Senate seat. So that's why they're doing this. That's why Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer are doing this, because they have no spine to actually do the right thing. They're just following orders from AOC. And that's why they're doing it. So it's really a shame. But that's really all there is to add to the government shutdown. You know, we'll keep you guys updated if anything changes. But it looks like now the government shutdown is not going to come to an end anytime soon, and that's very unfortunate for any government workers out there that are not getting a paycheck. You know, like I said, this is not because of the Republicans, it's because of the Democrats, and don't let mainstream media spin this any other way. So there's that. I do want to also cover real quick before we go to break, James Comey, former FBI head of the FBI, has pleaded not guilty to his charges. I believe he was arraigned today. I didn't see a perp walk or anything. I could be wrong, but it looks like he has been arraigned today and has pleaded not guilty. So yet again, you know, we just saw this revelation about Arctic Frost yesterday about Tuberville, amongst other Republican senators, being spied on by Jack Smith because they're Republicans and because, you know, they're loyal to Trump. And that's really it. They you know, they had their phones tapped. They had their messages followed because they're Republicans. And Jack Smith was given free reign to do whatever he wanted to do to spy on these senators. Now, let me ask you something. That on top of James Comey lying to Congress, which now he pleads not guilty, even though it's literally on camera. You got Jack Smith doing what he did. We have John Brennan doing what he did as the CIA director, where they fabricated the Russia collusion hoax just to get after Donald Trump. Is that not going after your political opponents? You know, tell me if I'm wrong here. Is that not exactly what the Democrats are claiming the Republicans are doing? It seems like the Democrats are projecting a little bit with their messaging, because more revelations come out that they, under Obama and Biden, did exactly what they claim Trump is doing. And they're going to point the finger at James Comey getting arrested and claim that this was Trump going after his political opponents. What this actually was somebody who broke the law and was indicted by a grand jury of his peers. He wasn't indicted by Trump. He was indicted by a grand jury of his peers in one of the more liberal districts of the United States. That's who indicted James Comey. And on the other hand, you got the left who are spying on senators' phone calls and literally tried to bury Trump under the jail with felony counts, 34 of them. who's the one going after political opponents here? So I just think that's interesting to bring up. As the left continues to call us fascist, as the left continues to say that we're under authoritarian rule, as the left continues to say that we are losing our democracy, I just find it interesting that it appears that one side is the one that is going after their political opponents. And it's the right who's holding them accountable. Not even the right. It's his peers. It's James Comey's peers that were on a grand jury that are holding him accountable. His liberal peers that are holding him accountable. So who's the one that's going after their political opponents? I just think that's interesting to chew on. I think that's something to think about. As we see James Comey today, even though he was literally caught on camera lying to Congress, plead not guilty. He's going to fight this. But I think James Comey being brought to justice is something that is going to help move this nation forward and hopefully prevent stuff like this from happening again. And Jack Smith, I believe Coach Tuberville yesterday said that it has gone on to a grand jury. Hopefully we see Jack Smith indicted as well and prevent stuff like that from happening again. Still waiting on folks like John Brennan and others to be held accountable. But like I said, just something to think about. You know, think about which side is truly the one going after their political opponents. But we're going to take a quick time out here. We're going to come back, continue to answer some more of y'all's texts, wrap up the first hour before we go on to best of the rest of the show. This is JP here, filling in for Phil on Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is producer JP here, filling in for the first hour for Phil while he is up in New York City to be on CNN tonight. Once again, News Night with Abby Phillip, 9 p.m. Central. Y'all make sure to go watch Phil in the Lion's Den once again, going at it with a panel of liberals. So it's always good content, so y'all make sure to check it out. We got some text here. We got Johanna from Hartzell. It says, JP, for anyone who doesn't have CNN, is there any other place to watch Phil gigs on CNN? Unfortunately, I don't think so while it's live. However, we make sure to go back and post the clips of when he's on there. And I tell you what, Johanna, if you want me to send you the full-length segments after the fact, if you want to text me that, I will gladly do so. But unfortunately, it looks like you do have to have CNN to watch it while it's live. We got Pastor Day from Indiana. Jack Smith and anyone else who was involved should be sued along with the phone companies for handing over that information. I agree completely. Yeah. Well, what about the AT&Ts? What about, you know, the Verizons? What about these folks that complied and gave Jack Smith what he wanted? I think that all deserves to get looked into. Jeff from Athens says, Peter is so human. When they came to take Jesus in the garden, the fishermen thought he was a swordsman. When Jesus was walking on water, only one stepped out of the boat. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus and began to sink. I can relate. 100%. Peter was Peter represents all of humanity, truly. But there's hope because Jesus told Peter that the rock of his church would be built off of Peter, which Peter ended up becoming the first pope, which, you know, whether you're Catholic or not, I'm not Catholic, but the Catholic Church, you know, Peter was the first pope and led, you know, the church from then on and was crucified upside down by the Romans for that fact. And by the way, I think it's interesting. I went to the Vatican this summer, blew me away. You know, the beauty, the history, the tradition there, the Vatican of the church. If you've never been, I highly encourage it, whether you're Catholic or not, highly encourage it because that is the foundations of the early church there at the Vatican. But you look in St. Peter's Basilica out in the St. Peter Square, where it has a mark of where St. Peter was crucified upside down by the Romans. And you look and, you know, Jesus' quote, his church would be built off the rock, which is Peter. And the Romans are nowhere to be found today. But Peter and the church that he helped start still stands. And right where St. Peter was crucified upside down is where the Vatican stays today. And the Romans are nowhere to be found. But the Vatican and the Catholic Church and, you know, what St. Peter built stands right there where he was crucified. So I think personally that's a prophecy that was fulfilled right there. Jeff from Indiana says, JP, with Director Comey finally getting indicted, it gives Republicans a little hope that there's going to be equal justice in this country. For too long, Republicans have sat on their hands and not went after Democrat criminals, which made them completely emboldened to do whatever they wanted to do. Hillary Clinton should have been prosecuted and put in jail for the secret server cause. Yep, there's a two-tier justice system, one for Democrats, one for Republicans, and they never prosecuted her. The same for Joe Biden. He took classified documents when he was a senator. He had no claim to them whatsoever, but he skated as well. Couldn't add more to that text, Jeff. Appreciate you. We got Adam from Athens here. JP, Movement is my home church, and I can promise you this is not going to stop our pastoral staff of congregation from standing up for what is right. I'm encouraged to hear that, Adam. Yeah, and if you didn't catch it last segment, Movement Church, which is hosting a Moms for Liberty event tomorrow night with Brian Dawson, the 1819 News CEO, he will be speaking at that event, and the church was vandalized today. by the tolerant left. They went and vandalized the church, saying Brian Doss serves the Antichrist. Beware of his falsehoods. So I'm glad to hear that that's not going to intimidate the church at all from hosting these events. They also hosted a town hall with Phil moderating with Jared Hudson. So I'm glad to hear that. And I know Emily Jones with Moms for Liberty, she's not going to be intimidated by that either. So by the way, the church getting vandalized, it's a perfect opportunity to promo Moms for Liberty event tomorrow night. Brian Dawson will be speaking there at Movement Church in Madison. Go check it out because the left doesn't want you to go there, apparently. John from Huntsville, he said, JP, I'm looking forward to another great Thankful Thursday edition of Right Side Radio tomorrow, and I hope Butters and Lee is going to be on the show. Butters and Lee will be on there tomorrow, and Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson will be on tomorrow, so y'all make sure to stay tuned for that Thankful Thursday. And then we got Shag Nasty the Atheist continuing to call us fascists, saying if we stop acting like Nazis and fascists, then they'll stop calling us fascists. He said, may our grandchildren grow up only knowing Trump in the same way my generation knows Nixon, a corrupt, power-hungry, the little B word that I can't say on there, and that bowed and when the time was right. Well, Shag, if y'all stop acting like fascists and Nazis, maybe we'll stop holding you accountable for being fascists and Nazis. Because like I said, we're not the ones that are forcing people to take the COVID shot, you know, mask up. We're not forcing people to, you know, comply with the left. We're not throwing people in jail for when we disagree with them. We're not spying on the left's phones. We're not spying on, you know, our political opponents. So, you know, if you stop acting like fascists, maybe we'll stop holding you accountable for being fascist. But I appreciate you anyway, Jack, for listening. Like I said, if you keep listening, maybe you'll get some truth and hope sprinkled in your brain there. I appreciate it. Come off of the cesspool of Reddit, Shag. Come to Right Side Radio. Anyways, folks, that's it for me today. The rest of the show will be a best of compilation. Unfortunately for the live stream folks that are watching there, the live stream will now end. But tomorrow, we'll see you guys then with some live content. And make sure to check Phil tonight at CNN News Night with Abby Phillip, 9 o'clock Central. And we'll see you guys tomorrow.